You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller. And today, as we continue in our Missions Emphasis Month, we are talking with various missionaries and ministries around the world that are having an impact with our theme, Knowing Christ and Making Him Known. And our guest today is Gary Wilkerson, who is with World Challenge, a ministry that is very diverse in all of its different impacts it's having around the world and here in New England especially. You might be familiar with their ministry. It is such a privilege to have Gary on the program with us. Thank you so much for being a part of our Missions Emphasis Month.
Absolutely, Adam. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about World Challenge? It is a big ministry with a lot of ministries underneath it, but it's an umbrella to all of those. So can you tell us a little bit about what World Challenge is?
Yes, World Challenge was started in 1971. My father was the founder of it. He was involved in various ministries before that. Some of your listeners may be familiar with a book he wrote years ago called The Cross and the Switchblade, which explains his work that he did with gang members in New York City. And from that, it grew to not only involved with drug addicts or gang members, but working with missions ministries in third world countries, helping the poorest of the poor. My father's heart has always been for the poor. And so started in 71. And since that point, it's grown to we're working in over 200 nations and just pretty much all over the world, and everything from poverty alleviation to church planting.
Now, this is a mission that, as you mentioned, your dad started, and it's kind of encapsulated in the idea of its name, the World Challenge, this global aspect to ministry to reach people with the gospel. Started right there in the, kind of the hub and the center of the world of New York City. Tell us a little bit about the kind of vision and the progression that this ministry has had in accumulating all these different aspects of its ministry.
Yeah, well, every time it's the Holy Spirit has spoke to our hearts about doing something, we've kind of kept that grandfathered in, so to speak, and then added new elements to it. So again, it went from starting off working with gang members, then on to drug addicts, starting the Teen Challenge program, which is in about 1,400 locations around the world now, even in communist China and closed nations and Islamic nations that are kind of secretly underground and stuff. After drug abuse elements, if you remember, you're probably too young, Adam. I don't know how old you are, but there was the Jesus movement in the 70s, 60s and 70s.
That was a little bit before my time.
But I imagine so. You sound young. But it was dealing with a lot of kids who were running away from home and doing psychedelic drugs. And since then, it's developed now into a lot of work with people that are really suffering with extreme poverty. The primary heart is to bring the message of the gospel to people. We want them to know Jesus, and we believe that is the greatest form of life transformation. But we also see human suffering, and Jesus is the gentle shepherd. His heart for the poor is integral to what we're doing. So more and more now, we're working in the poorest, the most extremely impoverished countries in the world, or locations where there's war, civil wars, and conflict and starvation. Those are the areas that we're most drawn to right now. And so I became president of World Challenge about 6 years ago and transitioned it a little bit more into dealing with the results the ways you can bring solutions to poverty and not just dealing with the results of poverty. So it's last 5 years has been quite a bit of a turnaround in our organization. So we're still doing everything else we've done in the past with gangs and drugs alleviation, but more so now into seeing solutions to people's problems, both spiritually and when they deal with the crisis in their life.
That's interesting. You talk about how it's kind of changed and morphed. Missions has, even in my lifetime, and I'm only 32, so you have your answer. It has changed a lot even in my lifetime, and even in my time in ministry, it's transformed to where, like you said, we were doing a lot of open-air kind of public preaching, and I know that was a huge part of World Challenge in the beginning, but now it's becoming more of a long stay, a humanitarian an effort to see how the gospel transforms lives over the long period of time, correct?
That's absolutely correct. So it still has a very strong passion for soul winning and preaching the love of Jesus and conversion that happens. And we believe that the most dynamic life change happens right there. but then to stay with some people over the long run that are really in crisis. So quick story is for me going to a feeding center that we'd had in northern Uganda. It was where the Lord's Resistance Army had been kidnapping children and forcing them into becoming child soldiers. So we started working there, and when the Lord's Resistance Army moved out of northern Uganda, these kids were coming home, and a lot of their dads had been killed in the Civil War. So we started feeding programs and orphan care. And so I went to a place called Lira in northern Uganda and met a teenager there, and he said, "Thank you so much for this feeding program. Years ago, my father actually came here. My mom and dad came here to get food, and now you're still helping. You know, 20 years later, you're helping me get food." And he was being very grateful, but it struck me as something's missing here, that after 20 years, this community is still needing outside assistance just to have basic food supply. And that was 6, 7, 8 years ago. And we realized, you know, we probably could do something. This is good to do relief when it's needed, but we probably could do something that could not only bring the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ, but help alleviate the actual poverty that, you know, these kids are having scraps to eat every day and hardly any clothes on their back. You know, we could keep bringing them clothes and food, or we could actually help through biblical principles, help them find ways to solve the problems. Why are they hungry? Why don't they have ability to purchase clothes or school books or afford to go to the doctor? And long story short, it's been a miracle. Right now, in that, you know, using northern Uganda as an example, we're ministering to over 100,000 people, helping bring them out of poverty. And I could tell you story after story of people who were like one woman who's had lost two kids, one to AIDS and another to violence. And she had like 4 or 5 kids left, and how her life was turned around from living without food for her kids, and their kids were having malaria and sick, to where she's like one of the most prosperous ladies in the whole region of where she lives, and she's helping others. Now, it's not a selfish kind of self-prosperity type gospel that she's living under, but it's a Jesus has done this for me and I want to help you. So she's supplying food for others and teaching other families how to farm and do things that just change their life. And of course, then, you know, I know you know this as well, Adam, the gospel itself changes life. So a man could be an alcoholic and he meets Jesus and gives up his, you know, all that money he spent on alcohol now goes to his family, and he becomes a better father. A woman becomes a better mother and raises their kids in a better situation. So, so 100,000 plus in northern Uganda that are actually coming out of poverty, joining churches. The churches we're working with there are exploding. Some of these were churches that had, you know, 50 people or so, and for 20 years meeting within the four walls of their church and not having any impact on the community, are getting faith now. They're believing God is working on their behalf and seeing miracles take place. So some of those churches that have 50 people are at 600, 700, 800 people now, and seeing baptisms every week. It's fun to watch, and God gets all the glory for it.
It's remarkable to see, you know, when they say the fields are widened to harvest, you're seeing a lot of this taking place in these areas of the world where people are desperate for help, and they're in great need and poverty. Here in New England, where our ministry is based, we have a lot of challenges, and yet we're still seeing a huge impact of your ministry in New England. I think it was one of the cable stations did a documentary on Cape Cod, which is where our office is located, on heroin, the heroin abuse here in New England, and especially here on Cape Cod. And Teen Challenge has had such a profound ministry here in New England. We've seen their guys come through our churches, minister. This is still a very present help here in the Northeast. This is where your ministry started in a lot of ways. Can you tell us a little bit about where Teen Challenge is at? For many of our listeners, we want them to think both globally, but we also want them to think locally about the impact that it can have for the gospel.
Yeah, there's a great opportunity for the church right now in America, maybe unprecedented. It was back in the late 50s, my dad went to New York City, but he was pastoring a small church in Pennsylvania, where I know some of your listeners are from that area, and God got a hold of his heart, and he just felt like it was to honor God and to show how strong he is, that he could solve problems that no man could solve. And that's still the motto of Teen Challenge, is that you know, where it seems impossible, God is able to do great things. But there's a, you know, and I think you understand that in the region of the country you live, particularly there, there's a horrible resurgence of heroin use, hardcore drugs. And these are, you know, I speak to guys who were drug addicts, you know, in the 60s and 70s, and they're working now with the young people who are going through the heroin addiction. And they say the heroin now is so much stronger. And, you know, it was hard to kick back then, but, you know, it's a deadly concoction. And, you know, as you've heard on the news, so many people are getting bad heroin and having overdoses, and lives are being destroyed. So Teen Challenge got raised up to be an antidote, to be show his miracle working power. There's been a, I can't even begin to count, probably well over 100,000, maybe 200,000 people have been set free from drug addictions in the United States through Teen Challenge. So, man, if anybody has children or a spouse or a neighbor or a friend who's addicted, man, I would call Teen Challenge right away, because they have a great way of helping people in this situation. There's, you know, and then the added benefit, obviously, Teen Challenge, is people get to know Jesus. You can get off drugs through even a secular program, but you leave not knowing Christ, you leave not knowing your sins are forgiven, you leave not having the hope of and the power of the Holy Spirit living in your life. So there's something amazing. And, you know, I'm not just speaking as somebody who's helped give leadership to Teen Challenge, but I'm speaking a parent whose son actually got involved in drug addiction, and to see him set free is probably the greatest joy of my life, greater than preaching the sermons in front of 10,000 people or writing a book. The greatest thing for me is to see the miracle working power in my own family. So there's tremendous hope. Anybody listening now that maybe you're addicted, or if you've got a family member, just know that God's for you, and he's got a power waiting for you. If you'll just submit your life to him, you'll do great things, and Teen Challenge could be a great assistance for that.
I love that it provides salvation, and not only gives them hope, but it provides them a foundation of faith that can help them in the midst of the trouble. It doesn't just replace an addiction with another problem or with emptiness. It replaces them. It really fills those needs with the only thing that can actually provide that long-term help in time of trouble. Yeah. I know we've been challenging our listeners to think both globally and locally, and I love that is a huge part of World Challenge. We want to pray and support the ministries that you're doing. I have seen the lives changed and transformed through the ministries of World Challenge. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the needs that you have, the help that they can be as a part of what this ministry is having as an impact around the world?
Well, thank you so much for offering that. We certainly could use prayer. That we and I know that, Adam, if I know what that's like, you know, every minister in the world is supposed to say that, but, you know, we do that not just because we're supposed to say that or because it sounds religious. We know that the power of prayer is how our ministry started. It's how our ministry sustained, and it's how it's going to have the impact that God would like it to have in the future. So anybody that could pray for us, we want that more than anything else. Secondly is, we're here to minister to people, not just be ministered to by people. And so we have a website that has a lot of content on it for Christian growth. You know, part of World Challenge is the mission part of it we've been talking about, but it's also a message part. So we have some ministers of the gospel that really bring a strong word of conviction and a call to living holy, righteous lives in the midst of a very perverse culture that we're living in today, and one that's becoming very anti-Christ, so to speak. And so we're there to help lift up hands. And so you can go into worldchallenge.org and hear sermons and download content there that will help you. And also, if the Holy Spirit would put on your heart to give to the ministry, you can go on that online there, and there's a place for donations as well. One of the great things that God's given us the ability to do is some donors have helped us cover all our costs as far as our administrative overhead and our staffing. So 100% of what anybody donates goes right to the mission field. So if somebody gave $10 to, like Uganda was talking about, all $10 would go right to that mission field to help the poor. So it's been a real joy to be able to do that. So those are some of the basic ways people can help. And again, just grateful to be able to get the word out through you there, Adam.
We've been talking with Gary Wilkerson with World Challenge, a ministry that has had a tremendous impact as we've been encouraging you both globally and locally. If you've never met somebody who's been through the Teen Challenge program, you're missing out on somebody who can really encourage your faith. I know many, I've seen many lives transformed through this ministry, and I just want to say thank you, Gary, for the work that you do in reaching out to people of all walks of life, but particularly those in great need and in great turmoil. And thank you for being a part of our Missions Emphasis Month. If you want to find out more information about Teen Challenge, about World Challenge, and about Gary Wilkerson, please head over to our website at songtime.com. We'll have a page there representing their ministry and their work that they're doing around the world. Gary, again, thank you so much for helping us in the process of knowing Christ and making him known.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it so much. Keep up the good work.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.